the opportunity to host our sister congregations from First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica in Queens, New York, as well as Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church coming all the way here. It's been an amazing trip, an amazing experience. And a few weeks ago, as we were making preparations for this service, Pastor Clint mentioned and said, you know, Michael, what would you think about you and Pastor Chris preaching together? And I had no clue what that meant. Maybe I still don't. But we thought there's no better opportunity in hosting our guests than an opportunity to share together this unity of Christ, even in sermons. So I'm thrilled to introduce to you my very close friend, Pastor Chris De La Cruz, who is here representing First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica, Queens. And I'm thrilled that today we get to together share with you the good news.
Good morning, everybody. I am so glad to be here, and on behalf of First Presbyterian Church in Jamaica, we are so glad to be here, aren't we?
Yeah.
We have so appreciated your prayers for us and your hospitality, all the ways in which you went out of your way to make sure that we were here safely and that we were to work together. Our church is just so grateful. I mean, our head pastor was gushing over the fact that this, you know, this was coming together, Reverend Pastor Patrick O'Connor. So we are just so glad to be here, and it is a personal just honor and humbling experience that you would even grant me the opportunity to be able to co-preach here. So thank you so much. And I want to let you know, too, I worked previously at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church, also New York City, and now with First Church in Jamaica. And one of the things we have been really impressed with are the long view of cornfields. I'm being very genuine, because you have to understand, in New York City, if you see more than 10 feet in front of you, then you're lucky, because otherwise you just see a bunch of buildings, right? Our scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 931, and you can also follow on the screen. And if we could do something a little different this morning, at First Church in Jamaica, our tradition is actually that we all together out loud read the scripture together. And the reasoning behind that is that you have different voices, all coming from different places in life, all reading together the Word of God. And, you know, with all these different voices from so many different places, right? I mean, you know, even this wonderful family reunion, what a better time than now to do this, right? So would you mind if we try this here? Does that sound good? All right, let us read together the Word of God. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. One part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has first placed church. First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of differing kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now each eagerly desire the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's pray. Gracious Lord, we are grateful. We're grateful that in Christ you have made us one body. Now we ask that by the power of your Spirit that you might be at work in this place, opening our eyes and our ears.
And Lord Jesus, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Well, friends, as you can imagine, planning for these mission trips starts a long ways ahead, and the leaders of the mission trip are thinking very intentionally about the unity of the body. What does it mean to be one in Christ? And we give a great deal of thought to the recognizing that we do indeed have differences. And in the midst of those differences, finding and inviting ways for us to allow Christ to be the center. But the honest truth is, at first blush, it may seem like we have lots of differences.
Yeah, for example, for some reason you guys eat breakfast on a pizza that you pick up at a gas station.
And guys, they really liked it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I would have it every day if I could.
And on the flip side, when we were in New York City, they took us out for pizza, and their pizza is big, it doesn't even fit on the plate, it's greasy, and they have to fold it over like a taco.
Well, yeah, that's because it's so thin, and the crust is just so beautiful that we can fold it. Oh, it just savors in their mouth.
Yeah, there are some differences we haven't overcome. So, but the reality is that all of us, when we meet someone new, that first encounter, we can all speak to that moment when you assume something of someone else, when the differences are so clear to you and the things that connect you seem far away. I remember when I was actually beginning the process to be ordained as a pastor, the group who oversaw that asked me, "Why are you becoming Presbyterian when you grew up Pentecostal?" Because for them, that idea that they had of Pentecostals was that they were the holy rollers, right? That they were loud and rambunctious in worship, and that, you know, Presbyterians have in the past been accused of being the frozen chosen. And for them, those differences seemed very large. The answer I gave to them, and the answer I found myself continuing as time went on, was that you might be surprised how much we have in common. Both Pentecostals and Presbyterians share Jesus Christ at the center. This God who we believe is alive and at work in our lives, ruling and overruling, drawing us to himself by grace. And those things that seem like really big things all become united in something far larger, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you know, I have to be honest with you, I can often put those differences at the center first, you know, when I meet someone. I mean, to be honest, when I met Michael at seminary, Princeton Seminary, and when we first met, you know, I didn't know if we would have much to bond over. Sorry. I remember, you know, you explained at this at the seminary Bible study that you know, came from this Pentecostal background, which I had no experience in, so I just didn't know. And I lived in New Jersey pretty much my whole life, so I had not interacted with people pretty much west of the Mississippi. So I just didn't know, what we have in common, right? But then, you know, we started talking. I realized we both like video games, which is great. We could totally have nerdy arguments about Star Wars. Like, for example, Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens, one of the best. It's up there, the canon. It should be recognized. Yeah, it's good to be wrong sometimes, I guess. And also, it was very moving as, you know, we really got to start really being friends, to meet a fellow seminarian. What I really appreciated about Michael is that he was both very thoughtful about his faith. Like, he could ask questions about the Bible and study its history and all that. But he also didn't want to lose the passion and the fire. I think he came from his Pentecostal background. And, you know, in seminary, I met a lot of people who, like, leaned toward one side or the other. But Michael, like, kept that together. And when I was hanging out with Michael and talking, I didn't feel alone.
And I imagine all of us could name that person in your life, right? The person who you made assumptions about and later you found that there was far more than what you first realized. And in fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about in the scripture passage for today. That those things that on its surface seem to be divisions that are irreconcilable are things that in Christ we find unity. And scholars tell us that in the Corinthian church they were struggling with divisions of all kinds, struggling with divisions between the rich and the poor, between those who were sort of in the inner circle and those who were outcasts. They were struggling specifically in our passage, you might have heard, with that idea that some were speaking in tongues, which was thought to be a higher gift, and those who had lower gifts were put out on the edge of the community. And Paul turns immediately, emphatically, and beautifully and says, all of the gifts are necessary for the body to be one. That we cannot put one above the other. We can't create hierarchies in our community. That when you are in the body of Christ and you are one, your gifts are needed because we are one body in Christ.
Now, what's interesting about this Bible passage, this beautiful image of the body of Christ, is that what unites us is not just what we have in common, but literally, what is different in each body part is what unites us and makes the body whole, right? Like that image, I love that, you know, Paul is saying, you can't have a body of all eyes, right? Like, how's the foot going to know where to go? And the hand can't say to the foot, hey, we don't need you, right? In order for the body to move, the hand, in all of its ways that it's different from the foot, and the foot is different from the eye, those differences are necessary. Right, so that it could be whole and could be united. Like, it can't just be everyone's all the same, every body part's all the same. You know, when I reflect on my own life journey and story, I to be honest, I sensed from a young age that I was different, specifically because my parents were immigrants from the Philippines. You know, and I had darker skin than a lot of my friends, you know. And I really wanted to belong. And so what I wanted to do was be the same, just like everyone else. Like, my area of New Jersey was more diverse than other areas of New Jersey, but still people with lighter skin seemed to be more popular or have more power. Like, when I watched TV and movies, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me or had stories that I, you know, related to. I remember I was an elementary school kid and I walked into a conversation that my dad was having with his friend. I probably shouldn't have heard this. But my dad was talking to my friend about a conflict that my dad was having with someone else. And I don't know the rest of the story, but all I know is I heard my dad say, and then this guy told me to go back to your third world country. And I heard that, and I heard other things like that from my parents, and I wanted so badly, my reaction was to erase what was different about me. I tried really hard to be American or white. I didn't even know what that really meant, but I just had this sense of, like, I wanted to fit in. Like, as a kid, when my parents packed Filipino food for lunch, which is like noodles and egg rolls and all that, I hid it from other kids so they wouldn't see. Which now I'm like, man, Filipino food is great. I want as many people to know it as possible. You know, I never tried to hang out with all the other Asian kids because I didn't want to be the other. I wanted to fit in. I saw that, you know, like, superficial things like the Asian and black kids listen to hip-hop. So I didn't want to admit that I liked any hip-hop, which, if you know me now, I love hip-hop. I could talk for hours about the theology of Kendrick Lamar. My Filipino heritage is very much tied to its Christian religion. Like, if you know about the Philippines, a lot of history with that. So my reaction, I became an atheist from high school and college. And I didn't talk about being Filipino. I didn't learn about my culture. I wanted to be the same. But no matter how hard I tried to run away, every day I looked in the mirror. I saw my father's dark skin. I saw my mother's flat nose. And when I talked, I heard my grandfather's accent speaking out of me. And there was this moment when I heard God tell me, you are from the De La Cruz and Navarro family. They are from the Philippines, and in that sense, you are too. And this is how I, the Lord God, made you. And it is good.
That's an invitation to each of us, I think. An invitation to consider the ways that we find in our differences divisions from others. Where we too look for ways that we can be just like everyone else and therefore leave the gifts that God gave us individually. The things that you know that you have been gifted and called to do. Your calling in the body. And yet we strive to be like everyone else. The truth is that we are different by design because each and every one of us is created by God uniquely. There is not a single person with the same giftings and experiences and opportunities as each and every one of us. And so in that, to be one, we must recognize that the thing that makes us one is that God created us uniquely.
So when I was in middle school, my grandmother, which in the Filipino Tagalog language, you would call her Lola. So Lola's my grandmother. Lola came and visited for a couple of years specifically so that my parents were both very hardworking nurses. My mom worked at nights. My dad worked all throughout the week. Like, my grandmother watched the kids. And Lola, when I looked at her, she represented everything I was trying to run away from. She represented being different, other, dark skin, from another country. And I didn't, as a middle schooler, I did not treat her well. I was very mean to her. I didn't listen to her. And I just had this feeling of resentment every time I looked at her. Years later, through a lot of things that happened in my life, I came back to Christ in college. It was one of the most amazing, the most amazing moment in my parts of my life. And I remember, coming home from college, and it was like really vulnerable for me to tell my mom that. But I said no. I want to tell my mom that I came back to Jesus. And I said, hey, Mom, I'm a Christian again. I believe in God. Look, I even bought a Bible. And she was so excited. And she said, you know, Chris, when you were in high school and you told me that you were an atheist, I was really afraid for you. I was really sad. And so I spoke with my family in the Philippines all the time about it. And you know what? Your Lola Your Lola has been praying for you ever since high school. Your Lola has been praying for you that you would come back to Jesus, and this is an answer to her prayers. And I realized in that moment that I had always been connected with my culture and my family, my difference, even when I was running away from it. And it happened when I gave myself to Jesus. If you hear nothing else, trust God. Surrender yourself to Jesus each and every moment, because you never know how God is weaving a plan. Even and especially when you are rebelling, Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to bring you back. Giving myself back to Jesus and surrendering my life is the greatest thing I've ever done. But I'll also say that it's funny, I was trying to chase, like, I wanted to belong. That's why I tried to wipe away every difference in me. But when I surrendered to the body of Christ and said, you know what, no matter how hard, I'm going to try to be a hand, I'm a foot, right? I actually found that I truly belong. And you know, honestly, that's what drives me as a pastor. Specifically this idea of other people who feel like they don't belong. Like, what drives me as a pastor is to do everything in my power to say, Jesus Christ says you belong. That your gifts matter. Where you come from matters. And God has weaved that together. You know, our community at First Church in Jamaica, it's a neighborhood that's very, very diverse in the sense there are a lot of immigrants from Africa and the Caribbean and a lot of nations. And I've had a lot of people come in my office who've had stories especially of fear. In the last few years, there was one immigrant woman, I'm not going to try to give too many details to preserve her privacy, but she's from an African nation. She's also like a model Christian. Like when I pray with her, like I'm humbled. Like she just trusts God so much, and she has a wonderful middle school young man who, like the first time I heard him pray, I said, "You're the pastor." And like I remember being in my office, and this woman said, "I'm an immigrant. I'm really afraid right now. My brother has already been deported. My son has lived here his entire life. And I'm afraid I don't want to be separated from my son. But you know what?" She said this. "Whatever happens, I trust in God's plan. I trust in God because God is good. And you know what? I trust in God too. But for me, as a pastor, I wonder if trusting God is doing everything in my power to make sure she's not separated from her son."
We as Christians then are gathered in this place. And if you can't tell, you're entering a conversation that's been happening for 5 years now. Relationships that grow and deepen. At the beginning of this trip, we invited our students with really a challenge, and it was, let's be challenged to be honest with one another, to be vulnerable, and maybe even a little uncomfortable. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, if you've worked with youth, maybe you went on a youth trip, maybe you've had an opportunity to work with people on a service trip. You know when you start a trip and you don't know people? You wouldn't know anything about each other, maybe not even where they live or what they do. And by the third or fourth day, you would go and you would travel with them across miles. Have you had this experience? It's incredible to see what happens when students are vulnerable and uncomfortable with one another. Friendships that started 5 years ago continue right now. Students talk to each other and text each other and call each other because of the investment of this congregation. because of the investment of MAPC and the First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica. That is a strong thank you for your commitment to our youth and to the relationships that we form. But it's a reminder that amidst all of the differences that we name, all of the differences that our students know exist, there's one thing far greater, and that is Christ, who is at work in us. In just a few moments, I'm thrilled because Malcolm and the step team are going to do something that they do in their worship all the time. It's called step dance, and I'm not going to explain it because it's going to be great. But we did it when we went to New York. They invited us, would you do this in worship with us? So when they came here, we said, would you lead us in worship with this? And the thing that I'm thrilled about is the fact that we worship with them as their congregation is worshiping right now. And we do it not because we're the same, but because of the thing that we have in common. And it's not by accident that we gather in this place today under a cross. Because Jesus Christ lived and died for us. His identity was that he gave himself for us. And the reason why MAPC and First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica and Lake Park and Spirit Lake get together, it's not just that we can spend time. It's so that we can serve as Christ served. And when we do that, even when we are young, we can see that the best life is the one lived underneath the cross. The best worship is the worship lived in community. That the differences that might at first be scary in Christ are celebrated because they reflect the unity of the one who made us. So friends, let us be joyous. Let us recognize the gift that we have in being in this body. Let us serve one another as Christ served us. And let us go forth in joy and thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.